the real deal. You know, we find fakes, knockoffs, frauds, every area of life, don't we? We need to know how, as believers, to experience living an authentic life following Jesus. This is a lifetime pursuit. And I want to talk to you today about when Christians make a huge difference. I'll tell you, you know, this book is powerful. Let me tell you a story. Gaylord Kambarami was the general secretary of the Bible Society of Zimbabwe in Africa. And one time he offered a New Testament to a man. And the man responded, look, he said, if you give me that New Testament, that Bible, I'm just going to roll the pages up and make cigarettes out of them and smoke them. And so Gaylord thought a moment and he said, well, look, he said, I'm still going to give it to you, but I want you to promise me that you will read the page before you smoke it. And so the man agreed. Gaylord gave him the New Testament, went on his way. 15 years later, Gaylord was in this convention when suddenly a speaker on the platform spotted him, pointed him out to the crowd, and said, this man doesn't remember me, but 15 years ago he tried to sell me a New Testament, and I refused to buy it. He gave it to me. He gave it to me even though I told him I was just going to use the pages to roll up cigarettes. And he made me promise to read the pages before I smoke them. And so in front of this large audience, the man who was speaking said, well, I smoked Matthew. And I smoked Mark. And I smoked Luke. This guy doing a lot of smoking. Rolling up cigarettes, reading a page. He said, but when I came to John chapter 3, verse 16, I didn't smoke anymore. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And he said, my life was changed from that moment. And here now, this man had become a full-time evangelist, pointing others to the powerful message of God's Word. It is my prayer that this powerful message today will be just what all of us need. All right? Now, let me ask you a question. You ever stand in front of your closet trying to figure out what you should wear? How many? Give a testimony. Come on, come on, come on. Did you do that this morning? Come on, didn't you? Yeah. Okay, I want to ask you a question. What should I wear today? Every day, most of us go through that little routine. I know I do. And I think quite often, can I get away with wearing jeans today? I mean, but I need jeans that are comfortable because I'm going to sit and study a lot. You know what I mean, guys. Who am I going to see today? That makes a difference in how I dress. What shoes should I wear? How warm is it going to be? Do I need a long sleeve shirt today? Is it okay? Attire, wardrobe. I mean, it's a daily occurrence and it is a big deal. It really is. But how often do we as followers of Jesus spend the same amount of time in front of the spiritual mirror listening to our wardrobe consultant, the Holy Spirit, whispering to us as to what we should really wear so that we're prepared for the day? I want to share with you three thoughts. You want to make a difference with your life? Every one of you have that potential. Every single one of you. But number one, the issue is when Christians dress for success. You got to wear the right wardrobe. You say, you're kidding me. No, I'm not. But this is the people that make a difference. They wear the right clothes. You say, well, what are they? They're garments that give glory to God. That's what they are. It's a wardrobe that witnesses with power. It's an attire that attracts even the unbeliever. But first of all, before we get to those, I want to tell you, not everyone has access to this wardrobe. Look what Paul says. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves. Wait a minute. Let's talk about the Christians who then can wear these clothes. You know who can wear these clothes? We're going to get to those. Number one, they are chosen by God. Therefore, Paul says, as God's chosen people, that's the word electos, election. God chose you. Do you know that all the way through the scriptures, the Bible chooses? God says he chooses. In fact, all the way back in Deuteronomy chapter 10, as God speaks of Israel, this unique nation, here's what God says. And I want you to understand this, beloved. I don't know how big your God is. But verse 14 says, to the Lord your God belongs the heavens, even the highest heavens, the earth and everything in it. God owns it all. And then he says, because I'm the owner, the maker. He says, yet the Lord set his affection on your forefathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Jacob, you know, changed his name to Israel, became the father of the 12 tribes. And yet the Lord set his affection on your forefathers and loved them. And he chose you, their descendants above all the nations, as it is today. And now you know why the nations of the world hate Israel so much. God chose them for a special mission. You know who can wear the clothes that we're going to talk about? Christians that are chosen by God. Jesus said, you did not choose me, but I what? Chose you, that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain. God's plan that is revealed in our lives. The Bible says the Lord knows those that are his. We are not our own. And when you choose a wife, she becomes yours and you become hers. And it's like God chose us to be in this unique relationship with him, to be married to him. And that's why he says next, God's chosen people who are holy. Not only are they chosen by God, they are consecrated for God. Consecrated, they're set apart. Ephesians 1:4 says, for he chose us in Christ before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. God chose you if you're a born-again believer today. He chose you out of the masses of humanity. He drew you to himself. Jesus said no one can come to him unless the Father draws him. This word holy is the same word as the word used in the Bible for saints. It means that you're set apart, you're consecrated, you belong to God. And because of that, you're to live differently from the world. And when we believers fail to act differently, we miss the purpose for which we have been chosen. In fact, Peter put it this way. He said, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. Why? That you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. That's why. And so we're consecrated for God. And by the way, notice this, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly what? Love. They are cherished by God. These are the Christians who can wear the clothes we're going to talk about. Chosen by God, consecrated for God, and cherished by God. Love, that's the strongest motivating power in the world. The Bible says in Ephesians 1:5, it's in love that he marked you out ahead of time. He predestined us to be adopted as his son through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and his will. When you're adopted, God chooses to put you into his forever family. I was reading an article which really impacted me about 8 days ago by Ann Coulter. Now, Ann has a very sharp tongue and a sharp mind to go with it, and she does a lot of amazing research, and she wrote an article called Casey Anthony, Single Mom of the Year. And there's a lot of fascinating statistics that she has drawn from her research, but I want to talk to you about this adoption. See, the Bible says that if you're born again, God adopted you into his forever family. She writes, information that I had never read. Do you know that adopted kids on average turn out better than even biological kids raised in two-parent families? One 4-year study by the Search Institute in Minnesota found that adopted teenagers had greater empathy, higher self-esteem, and more close friends than non-adopted teenagers in public schools, and were less likely to engage in high-risk behavior such as stealing and excessive drinking. In all, these adopted teenagers scored higher than the control group on 16 indicators of well-being. They were as strongly attached to their parents as their non-adopted siblings. And contrary to the Hollywood movies who portray adopted kids mystically driven to find their biological parents, the majority of adopted teenagers rarely thought about the fact that they were adopted. Steve Jobs, that's Apple's guru, he's shown very little interest in his biological father, and he corrects people all the time who refers to his adoptive parents. He said, oh no, they were my parents. I find that interesting. But if you stop and think about it, beloved, it makes a whole lot of sense. You see, if you are in Christ today, let me tell you something. You always know who your daddy is. Is that right? Come on. You always know who your daddy is if you really are in Christ. Now, if you're not in Christ today, you're confused about all of that. But you have a relationship with Abba, your eternal Father. You belong to Him. Why? He chose you. He drew you to Himself. He set you apart for something that was a part of His plan that He wants. And He loves you. Now, when you really know that and you get that and you just kind of marinate in that, I want to tell you, it's going to change your outlook on trouble. It's going to change your outlook on everything. You were chosen by God to be set apart for a special plan, and He dearly loves and He cherishes you. Therefore, back to our statement, clothe yourselves with five core foundational garments. Five. Now, we got the layered look going on up here, but now we're talking about the core garments that you have to wear if you want God to use you with your life in this world. In fact, Paul's been talking about this clothing change. We got to take off the old man. All the underwear of bad attitudes, it's got to go. We got to put on the new self, Christ. We've got to wear Him and His character in our lives. Take off, put on, take off. And so here we have a mannequin. And what Paul is telling us is exactly what we have to wear as Christians if we want to be effective in this world as followers of Jesus. Five core garments that the Holy Spirit helps us put on. Well, what do they look like? Well, number one, he says, clothe yourself. The word clothe in duo. Jesus told his disciples, stay in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit clothes you with power. It means to envelop you. So we're going to put your life as a Christian inside this envelope. But we're going to just envelop you. This is the concept. This is the picture of what it means to clothe yourself. Now, in some sense, if you're a born-again Christian, you have the ability to do this. Otherwise, God wouldn't command you to do it. Do you understand? Okay, five core foundational garments. You stand in front of your closet, your spiritual closet, every day of your life. Number one. You put on compassion. Compassion. First character trait that marks you as a child of God. It's compassion. You say, well, why is this number one? I'll tell you why it's number one. Because when God was revealing Himself, first time in all of the Bible, in terms of His character, He was talking to Moses, Exodus 34:6, and He says, I am the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God. First thing that God mentioned about Himself is that He is compassionate. Isn't that good? See, so you got to wear this. You're going to be a follower of Jesus. Compassion, it comes from the deep place inside where your feelings emote. And when you come to Christ, that deep place is invaded. And that's where mercy comes from. That's where sympathy, sympathos, that's where you feel. It's a deep gut level feeling of compassion. You know who it was that wore this garment so powerfully? In fact, whenever he would see crowds that were harassed and distressed, the Bible says that splagna, deep in his gut, he felt this rendering when he watched people who were beaten down and beaten up. And Jesus felt compassion. And so we are to put this garment on. And so when people are sick, when they're grief-stricken, when they're injured, when they're alone, when they're elderly, should we just leave them to fend for themselves and to keep following our agenda and forget them? Leave them by the side of the road? No, no. You know what Jesus said? He commanded us. He said, be merciful even as your Father in heaven is merciful. So this is number one garment. Okay, compassion. Number two, core foundational garment of what we have to wear as Christians if we're going to make a difference is kindness. Kindness. The Bible says that God is kind even to ungrateful and evil people. Yeah. In fact, Paul says it was his kindness that draws us to repentance. Kindness of God. You know, kindness comes from a root word that means you're employed. Kindness, employed? I don't get it. Well, kindness means that you want to be useful. You want to be enabling. You want to be helpful. You want to be gracious. You want to become a blessing. You see, most of the time when we get dressed naturally in our flesh, we think, hey, what's in this thing for me? That's just our default. What's in it for me? But you know what kindness thinks? What can I do to benefit you? That's just the way it thinks. And when you put this garment on, this piece of clothing, it gives you the power to take your eyes off yourself and how you're feeling, and it gives you the ability to put them on the needs of someone else. And you go out every single day. Who can I be kind to? This is my God. This is my Savior. This is who I am. Number three, core foundational garment, you got to put on humility. Humility. Now, this may be a bigger issue in your life than you understand. You say, well, why do I need to wear this garment? Peter says, all of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. Because, here's why, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the who? Say it again. To the humble. You want God's grace? You want his enabling strength? Do you want his help? Then you got to get humble, my friend. In fact, how many times the Bible says over and over again, humble yourselves, humble yourselves. Sometimes God has to humble us. Humble yourselves. God resists the proud, you arrogant, pompous. Think you can do it yourself? I don't need God. Whoever comes to me, I will never cast him out. You see, the Bible says that God can only give grace to the humble, so I need to wear humility. In fact, the proud people don't even recognize they need God's help. Let me share with you an illustration that is amazing to me. It's Revelation 3:20. And Jesus is standing there and he says, I stand at the door and I knock. Imagine Almighty God knocking on your door. You talk about humility. I stand at the door and I knock. If anyone will open the door, I will come in and fellowship with him. He's standing at the door waiting for a mere man to hear his voice, to respond, to open the door. Almighty God is. I mean, he's got every right to just plow in and knock the door down. And what does he do? He waits. And that's humility. You know, if you're going to have an impact on your world, you must have fellowship with Jesus. And this is one indispensable piece of clothing. It's learning how to die to yourself. It's learning how to get yourself out of the way. It's learning how to become a servant. It's learning that you're number two or three. Gentleness is another core foundational garment. You're going to be dressed for success as a Christian. You want to make a difference with your life. This is critical. Gentleness simply means that this garment enables you to control your power and your strength. Gentleness, this word describes a gentle wind, a soft breeze. It describes a young horse that was broken or, as we say, trained. Okay? Now, you know that a wind can become a storm, right? A wind can become so powerful and it knocks everything down in its pathway. It's OC, it's out of control. A horse can do great damage, taking off and running, just like you can when you blow up. When you're out of control, you lose your temper. You know what? You don't have to do that. You can be dressed in gentleness and everything is under control. It's one of the fruits of the character of Christ, which you need to wear. You need to understand how desperately you need it, this issue of gentleness. Now, Ruthie and I have 13 grandchildren. Okay, that gives me a lot of sermon fodder, a lot of illustrations. And I'm struggling with admitting this. However, we just were blessed with our first great grandchild. Now, I know I'm way too young for that. I understand that. But that's the way it is. And I want you to rejoice. But I'm thinking about one of our grandsons. He went to Africa. I'm not going to mention his name, though. But I remember when he was a little guy. And he just had a lot of energy that wasn't really controlled. Now, I know today that we would label such a young man. And many of you have probably been so labeled and given a bottle of pills. And we got pills for everything. And I find that the Lord has different ways to deal with issues. His dad knows the Word of God, and so his dad would begin to shape and discipline and train this young man. And I remember in family gatherings, I saw this with my own eyes. You know, this little guy would be bouncing off the wall. I mean, he was just so energized. Of course, probably got that honestly. But, you know, his dad would set him down and take his face in his hands and call him by name and say, "Now I want you to exercise your self-control, young man. I want you to understand what we've talked about your power to control yourself." And early on, this young guy, 3 years old, 4 years old, 5 years old, 6 years old, his daddy and his mommy would train him in this piece of clothing called gentleness. And it's amazing how that happened, you know. And by the way, when you're gentle, there's also that goes along with it. There's a willingness for you to suffer instead of causing suffering. That goes along with it. Just want you to know that ahead of time, should you choose to wear this piece of clothing.